one verse in the book of Genesis 28:16. It says this. And let me give you the backdrop before I read it, and you'll have a little head start there. The prior verses talk about Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was the one that God was dealing with at this particular time. And Jacob had connived with his mother and to steal his brother's birthright. And he tricked his almost blind father. And a lot of us would say, man, that cancels that dude out. God can't do anything in his life. Can I let you know that regardless of how sneaky and conniving you've been, if there's a calling on your life, how many of you know gifts and callings are irrevocable? Some of y'all thought just because you'd messed some stuff up that God had pulled his anointing from you. It pulled his call off your life. Now, while Jacob is still there, God says, I'm going to get your attention, boy. So Jacob thinks he's running, getting away. And then God causes him to dream. And while he's dreaming, he dreams of a message from heaven and earth communicating through angels going up and down the stairway to heaven. And they say, God speaks to Jacob and says, Jacob, the inheritance that was promised to your father is yours. In fact, the ground that you're on right now is yours. And that's when Jacob woke up out of his sleep after he'd seen what God was showing him. And then he makes this statement. Then Jacob, help me out, woke up from his sleep and said, and what? I want to say it one more time. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I pray that we are aware of it. Father, I thank you for your love and thank you for your plan. Thank you for your purpose. We don't take it for granted that you show up at our services, that we recognize and focus our attention upon you. We don't take it for granted. For you are the guest of honor. So come take your abode. Dwell with us and in us. Fill us, each of us, God. We want you. We desire you. So speak to us today because someone came to receive. Someone needs a word from you. Someone's placing a demand upon the anointing. So, Father, I thank you, God, that today just do only what you can do. And we decree it in Jesus' name. And we say amen. And why don't you give him a thunderous round of applause because he is God. I mean you're God. Hallelujah. 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 Why is it important for us to give the Lord that type of welcome or response? Because people like to be where they're welcomed. If you tell me you don't want me to be there, you don't have to worry about me showing up. Hallelujah. You say, I don't want you there. Nah, we won't do it. I'm good with that. But you let me know you're welcome. You're rolling out the red carpet. You're going to cook some good food. Man, the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Hey, I'm good. I'm there. I want you to know God is similar. He inhabits our what? He dwells in them. So I want us to, and then that scripture goes on and says that praises are common among the upright. So it's important for us to make sure that we constantly lavish the praise and worship upon him because he is worthy of that. And he absolutely pours down upon us. This passage says that Jacob woke up from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and he wasn't even aware of it. I think it's important, as Taranza was even sharing today with a message to us, that we need to recognize there's a revelation that God wants, without a doubt, to bring revelation to us. And he doesn't want us to be dull of hearing when it comes to the things of the Lord. Are you with me today? But rather, he wants us to be alert, keen, and sensitive. And I was sharing earlier that over the years, because there's been a growing appetite for abundant faith to, you know, experience the presence of God, a growing appetite to know God, just not just simply show up and leave the same way. But God, no, we want to know you. Just like Paul said, I want to know you. How, Paul? By the power of your resurrection and then by the fellowship of your suffering. And it's not like Paul didn't know him already, but Paul wanted to grow in his knowing. Are you with me today? How many of you all know that as much as you know him now, there are other facets of who God is? There's so many facets. That's why I don't want to minimize him or limit him. I believe that's why the angels go around in heaven crying out holy, because every time they make another round, they recognize how holy and how awesome and how magnificent he really is. So they just bow and say, holy are you, Lord. We could spend all of our life and searching, and we still not know all about him. Follow me here. I was looking at some dolphins and some whales when we were traveling. I think we were in Alaska at the time. And as I was looking and talking to some people, and one guy told me, he says, I study these mammals for a lifetime. And he says, I studied them for a lifetime. There's still something else I can learn. And I said, well, if that's true of a mammal, how much more ought we to study God and know him? And we see another aspect, but he's bigger than that. You see another, but he's so much more broad, more vast than that. He's God. And above him, there's no other. And I said, God, if oceanographers have that big an interest in just a whale or a dolphin, how much more ought we to study you? We want to know you. We want to know your heart. We want to know your will, your plan, your purpose. And I don't know about you, but I'm going hard after him. Somebody say amen in this house. Give him a real good praise. Thank you, Jesus. So let me give you my first point today. God invites us to encounter him. There are a lot of things that gets our attention, but God is inviting us to encounter him, even our church. He's saying, you know, I want you to be awakened to me. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know my heart, and it's important that we recognize that. So God invites us to encounter him. And man, when you encounter God, you are no longer the same. Can I get a good amen? And the truth be known is that, you know, encounter means to meet, to come face to face with him. And it's important for us to know that when we come face to face with him, we change. In one particular place, I remember Moses, he was on the mount and he had a chance to just see God's rear, not hinder part. I mean, it's a better word to say it. The back of God. Hallelujah. Is that better? Hallelujah. And he saw the back of God as he was in the cleft of a rock. And the Bible says that when he came out and he spoke to God as a man speaks face to face with him as a friend, he comes down and the people look at him and there was something different about him. There was something different. There was a glow of that the people couldn't even see him because he'd been in the presence of God. Can I let you all know that God is calling for us to be in God's presence, and there should be something different after we're in God's presence. Are you with me today? And I want you to know that God is calling us to be in his presence and to know him. And the people on the outside will recognize when you've been in God's presence. Somebody give God a good praise if you really know what I'm talking about. Woo! And sometimes I tell people, you know, it's abnormal. It shouldn't be, but I ask the question, why is it sometimes abnormal when you talk about meeting with God or encountering God? Because some people will say, well, if you talk about encountering God, they will consider you crazy or say something is wrong with you. You tell somebody, well, what did you do today, this Sunday? Most people say, I went to church. What if you said, I encountered God? And they'll look at you and say, You did what? You mean you went to church? No. I encountered God. He was in our midst. You mean he was there? Yes. He wasn't at your church? I'm just saying. It should be a normal. Are you with me today? It shouldn't be abnormal when God shows up. It shouldn't be abnormal when God does miracles. It should not be abnormal when we say, God, we want you. When I speak in terms of sometimes I see angels, and even at my house, some people say, you know, did you hear what Pastor said? He said he sees angels. You know, why are we listening to him? He's seeing things. It should not be abnormal for us to talk to God and hear back from God. Am I in the right church today? If you haven't heard from him lately, God invites us to encounter him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he says, if any person hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will do what? I'll sup with him. I will abide with him. We'll have fellowship. And guess who he was talking to? He was talking to the church. You mean he's talking to church? Why? In the book of Revelation, he was talking to one of the churches there. He says, I want to spend that time with you, church. And I want you to know that even God is inviting the church to encounter him as well. Are you with me today? And here's the thing. Some people can have a God encounter, and others are in the presence of God, and they are not even aware of it. Mine is somewhere totally on something else. Thinking about, yeah, I won't say what. Someone asked me today, I'm going to get in trouble already. I already know. I said, Pastor, I want you to pray. I said, well, you know, what do you want me to pray about? He said, I want you to pray about Steph Curry and the Warriors because they're having inner turmoil. I should have told her, I want you to pray for LeBron. And I'm going to move on. My point is that sometimes that God can be doing something and we be somewhere totally out, somewhere where you are with me. You know, and this is where Jacob was. You know, God was doing something in the ground that he was on. He was saying, this is a holy place. And that verse, you can go right back to it if you can. And then he says, you know, surely the Lord is in this place after this took place. But God was there before that too. And he says, I wasn't even aware. In other words, I was dull. I was insensitive. I did not know. I was not keen to the Spirit. And that's one thing we are praying. May we be keen to your Spirit, God. May we hear from you. May we see your plan. And not only may we hear and see, but then may we do what you've called us to do. We do not want to become hard-hearted. We do not want to become in a place where we can no longer hear from you. But God, we want your will to be done. We want to encounter you. Are you with me today? So there's a passage in the book of John. This is Jesus talking. John 5 and 19. I love this passage. It says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do what? By himself. In other words, he says, you know, I'm not just out here doing this stuff on my own. In fact, I tell you the truth, I can do nothing in my own. Now, that's a pretty powerful passage for people that think that Jesus was so different than we when it comes to operating in spiritual gifts and spiritual things. Are you with me today? If Jesus didn't do it by himself, how do you think you can do it by yourself? If Jesus needed God to do anything, he said, I can do what? Nothing. One more time. So I can do what? Nothing. By? Why are you trying to do it by yourself? Trying to raise kids by yourself? Trying to take care of the bills by yourself? Now, nothing wrong with eating healthy, but you know, even with all that stuff, all the organic and all the blueberries and all this stuff, you can't maintain your health by yourself. Hallelujah. I'm preaching good today already. You can't establish your retirement. You think you got your retirement locked up? Man, stuff changes so quickly. So therefore, you can, when you live with that attitude that, you know, Lord, I need you in everything that I do, then therefore your attention would be on God and not focused on who can do for you. Say, God, I need you today. No one of the old folks, you know, you need to take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Because what? You're going to need him everywhere you go. You know, why? Because, you know, if Jesus says I can't do it by myself, why would we try to have church without him? I don't want to preach without him. I don't want to try to sing without him. I don't want to try to lead without him. No, I need him everywhere I go. Are you with me today? I am praying that we as a church become so sensitive to the things of God where we pray without ceasing, that where our mind, our heart is focuses upon him in all that we do because it's important. So God is inviting us. He's inviting us, and we want to say yes to his invitation. We want to encounter him because encountering him will make all the difference in the world. And when we encounter him, that brings us to our next point. When an encounter with God ignites a personal revelation of who he is. It absolutely does. You know, and I wrote it a little bit different this morning than I said it just then. But a God encounter ignites a personal revelation of who he is. All of us need to get that revelation. We need to know who he is. And sometimes we know him only based upon someone else's experience. But there's something happens when you get a personal revelation of who he is. Something changes on the inside of you. Can I get a witness? You know, no one of the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God, because he that cometh to God must believe that what he is. So you need to know he is the answer for whatever situation you're dealing with. You running over here and run over here. No, he is the answer. And when you embrace that and recognize that, it makes all the difference in the world. So let me let you know, as we are embracing and growing in our desire for God, you know, that passage the psalmist says, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after you. That's what God wants, the kind of passion he wants us to have. Now I was walking the other day with Jita, and I were walking, and we ran across a couple. It was just her. We knew of her husband, but he wasn't with her at the time. And we asked the question, you know, we said, well, how long have you all been married? This is one of the questions we asked. They had been married a while, and because they're older than we are. And they said, well, we've been married for, 60 plus years. And I was like, whoa. Man, y'all been married a long time, you know. I said, well, you know, you always want to gain from individuals that have been doing something longer than you have and have been successful at it. And I asked the question. I said, well, you know, what can you attest, you know, the success, and what kind of information can you give us as it relates to marriage? Because we're pups in this, babes in this. We only married 38 to your 60-some, you know, so tell us. And I was surprised at the response. You know, many times I would think, you know, they would say something like, love God, love each other, or something like that. Or I'm thinking like they would say, you know, pray for one another. I was thinking they would say, you know, we married somebody we can't live without, something like that, you know. And they really blew me away with the response. So I said, so give me some wisdom. They said, well, we tolerate each other. I tolerate him, and he tolerates me. And have you ever wanted to just stop your wife's ears up? Because I don't want her to tolerate me. When I see her, I don't want to just tolerate her. But I want to look at her and smile and say, I'm glad to see you. You know, I'm just being real. I don't want to tolerate you all. Say, well, how do you enjoy pastors? Well, I tolerate them folks. No. What kind of life is that? Really? You know, you don't want me to. You can tell when people just tolerate you. Are we okay so far? They see you coming. Oh, Lord. And I believe the same thing is taking place with our relationship with God. How's your relationship with God? Well, I'm tolerating. I'm doing. And God is saying, wait. You playing me to the left like that? After all I've done for you, after I've opened doors, made ways and for you, and all you can do is say, I tolerate him. You know, our worship should not be, I'm tolerating, you know, church and praise and worship. No, you should be like the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, because there's a place of meeting. Are you with me today?
Cynthia should never have to prime and pump. Come on, y'all. Come on. Lift your hands. Praise God. No. You be like the psalmist. Say, Father, I thank you that you woke me up this morning, started me on my way, and I give you glory. And because you love me like you love me, I want to love you back. Amen.
Glory to the name of the Lord.
Our relationship with God, and even when it comes to prayer, we're talking to God, well, you know, we pray. Let me look at my watch and see how long we've been. You're down here. Yeah, God, okay, now my time is up, God. No. It should never be like that. It's your opportunity to interact with God. Are you with me today? And I would be so thankful when I am reminded of what God has done in our lives. And worship and praise is automatic. No one has to pump, prime, tell us to do anything. We just say, God, thank you because you've been good to us. Somebody give him a praise in this place because he is God. Thank you, Jesus. I pray y'all aren't just tolerating me. He'll be done soon. I mean, we just tolerating him. Let me look at my phone till he's done. No. There should be a passion. That's why the Bible, what's the first commandment? Hear you, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. Love the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, all thy strength. The second one's like it in the New Testament, that you should love thy neighbor as thyself. So love is from the heart, not from duty. Are you with me? Glory to the name of Jesus. That was good. I think I'm gonna take that. Somebody give God one more praise in the house. So an encounter with God ignites a personal revelation of who he is. If you know God, he is love. God is love. And even in the midst of your situation, God is still love. And I looked in the Bible and looked at a few individuals that have personal testimonies of who he is. And so when I talk about this encounter, it ignites a personal revelation. Abraham had a personal revelation of who God was. You know, Abraham, if you look at the situation, that the scripture says that this particular time in the book of Genesis, it talks about Abram there. And God told him, take your only son, yeah, your chosen son, yeah, the son you love, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, how many of you know that would be quite hard to do, you know, when God gives you something and God says, now I want you to sacrifice this. And then, so Abraham loves God so much, so he goes to the bottom of Mount Moriah, and him and the son have a conversation, because if you got a preaching crazy daddy, you know, y'all have to have a conversation on time sometimes. I'm just saying. Well. He says to his father, he says, Daddy, we see the fire, we see the wood. I see that big knife in your pocket. Where is the sacrifice? And you know what he says? Hallelujah. Only at abundant faith. Thank you, Lord. He said, the Lord will provide. He didn't say, I'm getting ready to take your life, Isaac. I bet Isaac would have got shook up at that time. I would have been shook up already. I'm saying from the standpoint of if that was my daddy, if Jerry Dean, my daddy, said, come on up, Jerry Wayne, we're going to make a sacrifice. And then he says, by the way, I'm saying, you know, daddy, you know, like, where's something you're going to put on there for barbecue or what? And he says, the Lord will provide. We get at the top. We still don't see it. He said, well, you just lay right down here on the altar. You think I would lay down there? I said, Daddy, you have lost your... I'm just thinking, I wouldn't have said that. Not exactly. I think I would have crawled off and ran. Hallelujah. But Isaac had some faith, too. Isaac laying down there. His daddy drew back the knife, and he's still laying there? No wonder he's a father of faith. And when he drew back his hand to take his life, an angel speaks out and says, Abraham, Abraham, slow your roll, paraphrasing. And then he says, in fact, Abraham, the Lord has provided. Look over in the bush, because there's a ram caught up in the bush. Abraham, I can see him right now. Begin to give God praise as he put his knife down. I can imagine Abraham embracing his son before he even went over there to get the ram. I got to get you off of this thing, boy. Come on up here. We're going to go get this ram. And I bet the boy was saying, thank you, Lord. And then the Bible says that Abram built an altar. And on the and he named the altar. He says the altar is Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. What? God, my provider. How many of you all have been in a situation where you didn't know where your provision was going to come from? You didn't know how your rent was going to get paid. You didn't know how God was going to do it, but somehow he made a way. Are you with me today? And God supernaturally turned things around and said, look at me. I am God. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Somebody give him praise in this house. Thank God for Abraham knowing, but I know for myself as well. Moses comes on the scene. He's the next person. And they come on the other side of the Red Sea. And I tell people all the time that just because, you know, when God brings you out of one thing, it doesn't mean that you should stop praising, stop giving God glory, and stop looking to him. You need him every day. Can I get a witness? So they get across the Red Sea, and they're giving God praise. They're giving God glory. They're magnifying God, you know, and they're singing songs about how God, you know, drowned the enemy in the Red Sea. Miriam has her tambourine, and they are having church, I'm telling you. And ain't nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with it, but just shortly after that, they couldn't find water. And they were in a situation, now, wait a minute, God, you brought us through this. How many of you ever been there? You brought me through this, and now what's up with this? It's something like almost that God says, I want you to depend upon me every day. Don't think that you have arrived. I need you to know that you need me every day. You need me every day, every minute, every hour. Don't think that just because you've got to this point that you can forget me now. Are you with me today? They ran into a situation where Moses was saying, okay, now we don't have any clean water, but there's water, but we can't drink it because it'll make us sick. And then Moses takes a piece of wood, because God tells him, and throws it in the water. The water becomes clean and drinkable. Tell me what God won't do. Then he tells Moses, he says, Moses, I am the Lord that healeth you. Even though disease and stuff would take place, if you walk and honor me, he says, I'm the one that brings healing to your situations. So we know him as Jehovah Rapha. Now, I got a testimony for Moses. I hear his testimony, but I've got a personal testimony too. Are you with me today? Am I by myself? Did God heal your body? He took your situation and said, I know what the doctors say, but let me lay hands on a boy and bring him up. They say he won't live, but look at God, knows how to turn stuff around. I've got my own testimony that he is Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord, my healer. Somebody give him praise in this house. Bless him real good. He's God. Woo. If I have a runaway before it's over with, y'all have to just understand, because when I think about what he's done, my soul just says, God, I thank you. And then there was Gideon. And Gideon didn't have peace. He was upset. He was already hiding in the wine vat. And he was just nervous, didn't know who he was. God calls him a mighty man of valor, and he doesn't understand, doesn't embrace it, because maybe part of the thing, he says, well, I'm from one of the smallest tribes, and I'm the least of everybody in my family, and you want to use me? He was struggling with identity and all that stuff. And he didn't have a strong sense of who God was in him, because Christ in you is the hope of glory, that you can do all things through Christ that gives you the strength. And he didn't have that revelation. And one time he recognized that he'd been talking to an angel, and the Bible tells me that that shook him up. That frightened him to know that he was talking to an angel. And then God had to tell him, Gideon, he says, you know, you need to calm this down. Bring this down a few notches. He says, fear not. He says, I am your peace. I am your shalom. And then Gideon had to just calm himself down. I know I'm shook up right now, God, but okay. I had one of those moments not long ago. And sometimes if you're not careful, you'll allow anxiety, fear, to get in your head, and don't have nobody next to you that's talking fear. And then you have to remind them, listen, you need to chill that stuff, man. I'm already dealing with my flesh, and here you putting your flesh in my head. God has not given us, help me out, the spirit of, but the spirit of what? Long. And what else? I want you to know that when the spirit of fear comes upon you, don't you embrace it. Don't embrace it. Recognize who you are. Recognize whose you are. And then God speaks to Gideon and says, I am the Lord, your peace. And guess what, folks? Sometimes I still have to remind myself in the midst of all the stuff that's going on, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to be at peace, even though it looks pretty bad right now. But God, you are my peace, and I'm not going to get shook up. I'm not worried, even if everybody else is worrying about who voted and who didn't vote and who's in office, who's not in office, who didn't get it. If, guess what? As long as God is God, I tell you what, whoever gets in, he's going to make a way for us. Somebody give God a praise in this house. He's my peace. He's my peace. This next one, they're going to hold on. Don't put it up yet. They did well. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. As I draw this backdrop, this is so personal to me because I see a situation where the individuals didn't cause this, but this is about Hagar. The Bible tells us that Abram and Sarah, because they didn't believe God for themselves to have a child, that they say, well, let's use our maidservant, an Egyptian bondwoman. And so Abram says to, Sarah says to Abram, why don't you take my maidservant? And paraphrasing, Abram said, sounds like a good idea. He's not arguing. He's not rebutting. He doesn't say, hold me back. Hold me back, y'all. So this Egyptian woman that had done nothing wrong, she didn't say, let me offer myself. You came to her and said, why don't you participate? Well, they participated and came forth with a baby. His name was Ishmael. Now, let me just make sure. Some people talk about Ishmael in a bad way. I got to change your thought process. Ishmael didn't do anything. Can I let you know, folks, that there are a lot of babies that have been born and you point your finger at that child, but that child did nothing to be born in the situation that it is. Can I preach today? You focus on your attention, you say, well, that baby. No, it's not the baby. In fact, Sarah, you got an attitude. She got up one morning and saw them playing with her son and saw the bigger child getting the best of it. She go tell Abraham, she's a bond servant and she ain't got to go home, but she got to get out of here. Two women in the same house. How's that happening? She got to go. And then Abram, you thinking he's going to be a big man. He's going to say, hey, in my house, it's going to be like this. You think he was going to tell her they're going to stay? You're like, Hagar, Sarai say, y'all got to go. You mean to tell me we don't have no stuff and we got to go and hit the desert, leave what we've been, and we were set? Y'all, how many of y'all ever been in a situation like that? You didn't do nothing wrong. You were trying to accommodate your boss, but now you getting put out because someone don't like the fact that attention is being paid to you, and you ain't doing it. She didn't do anything wrong. Boy, I could preach this thing. But now, because of the situation, she's going to turn into a single mom. A single mom, daddy, back with the other baby's mother. And they're walking through the desert. And the sun is parched. He's thirsty. And I know y'all said, Pastor, I've never heard it preached like this, because I'm just letting you know how it really was. This child was thirsty, and the mom was thirsty, and the Bible says as they walked, the boy started sobbing first. And he was hungry. And that's why I tell people, there's a whole nother subject, but we need to provide for our children. Hallelujah. But as they're going through the desert and he's about to die, the mom looks at her son. And I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you look at your boy and you say, I can't stand to see what's about to happen to him. I can't stand to watch him die. So she goes way away. The Bible says about an arrow's shot away from him. And she places him under this place of shade. And while she was there, she begins to cry. And then the Bible tells us that God heard their cry. In the midst of your being ostracized, being put on the outside, you know, God heard their cry. I want you to know that in the midst of your darkest hour, God knows how to hear what's going on with you and shares with you that you are not abandoned. Hit me with that next one. Hagar and Ishmael. So that they said this, that God is here, Jehovah Shema, and he has not what? Witness to your neighbor and say, he hasn't abandoned you. But he hears and he what? God understands where you are right now. You could be in a situation, you could be in some situation that you didn't cause, but God understands. Every widow, every orphan, I want you to know that God understands. Every single mom, God understands. Every child that feels like you're fatherless, God understands. And know that he understands, and he comes and he says, listen, I'm going to show you something. The Bible says he opens up Hagar's eyes, and then she sees a well springing up out of the desert. And she says, go get him a drink. Raise him up, because he's not going to die, but I'm going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. Somebody give praise to God, because I don't care what your situation is. God knows how to take that individual and make a great nation. I mean, give God good praise. God is here, and he has not abandoned you, but he hears and he what? He understands. Sometimes I need to hear that on occasions myself, because sometimes you feel like you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself. God hears and he understands. They all encountered God and ignited a personal relationship with God and who he is. They saw him from a different light, a different aspect. So the question is how can I encounter God? You know, I know that's one say, well, I want to encounter God too. How do you encounter God? You start off by, prayer. That's a good place to start, isn't it? Man, we want to be a praying church. My church shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. You know, prayer is important. What is prayer? Communicating with God. And there's many different types of prayer. You know, there's prayer of supplication or some have a need. There's prayer of give me another one. Intercession. I'm interceding for someone. And then there's just talking to you. There's the right now prayer. I need you right now, God. You ain't trying to make it pretty or nothing. Something's happening. You say, God, I need you right now. Jesus, you hear people, and some of them don't even know they're praying. You've been in the car with somebody, and somebody pulls out in front of them, they say, Jesus, they shout so much, almost scare you. What are they doing? They're praying, communicating with God. How do I encounter him? I talk to him. We have a relationship with him. I want to communicate with God. I used to hear my mom communicating with God, and I used to wonder, hear her praying and in the room, and sometimes I hear her talking like she was talking to somebody. And when she got done in the bedroom, I went in there to see if there was anybody in there. But I tell you what, I didn't see anybody. I was like saying, so she's just talking to God. Let you know there's nothing wrong with having a communication with God, having a conversation with God. Hallelujah. If you know what I'm talking about, give him a praise right where you are. Some of you had a conversation with him today. Hallelujah. How can I encounter God? I can encounter God through worship. We today, you know, we worshiped God, and that's how we encountered him. We connected with him. We met him. We experienced him and his presence. Why? We had to, get in his presence and say, God, this praise is to you. This is not singing songs to see how good we can sing, but this worship is as unto you. And if you've never experienced worship from a heart place, heart, not hard, but heart place, when we were in a situation and looked really dim and dismal and we were in court and God supernaturally intervened for us and for us on our behalf and we weren't jumping and shouting and screaming in the courtroom, that would have been okay. But man, there was just a worship that came over the very courtroom and we just began to cry and thank you, God, and give you glory. That's the heartfelt worship that God is calling us to, because we know the attorney didn't do it. Attorney couldn't do it. Only God can answer in certain situations. Somebody give God real good praise. That's that worship. I encountered him through worship. We encounter him through his word. And I know sometimes people don't read the word enough, but I think the Bible says that we should read his, and it says meditate on his word day and night. I think it's important that we get in the word and meditate on his word day and night. How many of you brought your Bibles today in some form? He said, my phone is with me. It's always with me. Makes me wonder, is it tuned in to the word, though? So it's important that because we have that opportunity, man, it's important for us to make sure we get in his word. And sometimes not just read it as it's a storybook, but we read it as it's God's word to us. It's revelation. It's actually a letter to his love letter to us. So I want to encourage you to get in your word because it makes a tremendous difference. And then finally, it's this. You know, God wants us to minimize distractions and tune in. And I have to say that that can be a problem for me, you know, because, you know, man, anybody besides me that people blow up your phone, you know, it's like you trying to get before God and it's like buzz, ding, all that stuff. And then don't have social media. That's why it's getting quiet in this church. It's getting really quiet because you know God is speaking. Man, these things can take you out of God's presence so fast. And sometimes all you got to do is hear it. And if you got special ringtones to people, you know who's ringing. So I'm not getting that one. And sometimes, you know, it'll ring at some times and don't have social media because, again, that's why I don't have Facebook. I don't. Somebody in here, they said, well, Pastor, I tried to hit you up on Twitter. And I said, well, I don't have Twitter where somebody has your name. It's not me. Why? Because I don't want to be tweeted all the time. I don't want none of that. I don't want that. I don't have Facebook. So how do you survive without Facebook? Real nice. Real nice. Hallelujah. Facebook, no, have Facebook. Don't bother me one bit. Not one bit. What else the kind of stuff they got on y'all help me out. What else? Instagram. Okay, what else? What, Snapchat? Y'all Snapchatting into stuff like that stuff? I heard there was something, some kind of date thing. I don't know because I've been out off the market for quite some time. But don't play like you don't know the date thing. What's that thing y'all call? Oh, Tinder. That's the one I remember. We just flip them to the side. If you like them or don't like them, I don't know. But my thing is, this stuff can throw you off. And it can distract you. There's one scripture, and I won't even turn to it. But it's in the book of Mark 1:35, and it says this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he, meaning Jesus, went out and did what? To a what? Why? He needed to pray, and he couldn't pray with all the noise and all the distractions going on. How can you pray with all the distractions going on? How can you get in the presence, you know, with the distractions going on? Even in the church, God says, I want your attention. And you're still buzzing and texting and interacting with folks. When I don't text back, don't get mad. It may be that I have the phone off for that week. You said week? Yeah, I can do without this thing for a week. Some of y'all take your phone in the bathroom. Am I just being real announced? Man, you be at the house. If you leave with that phone, you can leave your money, your wallet. Don't leave the phone. And I admit that I was one here, one Saturday morning, I was in prayer. And as I was praying, and we were about 9 o'clock or so. And as I was praying and everybody was in a circle, and all of a sudden my phone starts ringing. And have you ever tried to recapture the moment and this thing just messed the moment up? Because you're saying, don't focus on the, you know, it's not important. Then your head be saying, who is it? What if it's important? What if it's one of the kids? What if it's a, all that stuff goes through your head, and now you try to get back. Okay, Jesus, now, Lord, where were we? Am I by myself? So we've got to do what? Minimize. And then we've got to tune in. This is old school radio. Some of y'all say, well, Pastor, I don't even know nothing about old school radio. I'm going to see if I can turn it on. It says off. And it says, big button says on.
Chapter 1. Well, then you see that the Holy Spirit will overshadow.
Oh, do you believe this? I wonder how they do that. Oh! All right. Well, it's got a radio station. And let me let you know this, is that there are frequencies in the atmosphere. There are frequencies in the atmosphere. And if we want to tune into, you know, something foul and some, you know, what other kind of language they're using, talking about women and degrading folks, if you want to, and profanity, you can tune into that. Even in this place. Y'all don't hear me today. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we had to even, you know, block the internet, because sometimes people can be in the right place, but tuned into. So we've got to learn how to minimize distractions and tune in, because, you know, it's not like the atmosphere doesn't have the signal from God. It's here. All we've got to do is tune in. So let me see if I can.
The name for the woman from before the sin.
So.
But the woman. Because she is.
Y'all say, I can't hear
you.
And y'all say, y'all, what am I going to listen to?
Leadership Fund.
Now, y'all can tune into that, and it'll mess with your head. Y'all keep listening to a whole bunch of news and stuff like that, and wonder why you're so. Y'all say, Pastor, you going to find something? My point is this. I couldn't find Jesus on the line right then. But can I let you know that in his presence right now, this is a radio that brings in frequencies. Can I let you know that we can bring in a frequency? Won't you stand on your feet as we bring in a frequency? All you've got to do is tune in. You've got your own built-in frequency. You can dial him up. Old folks used to sing, Jesus on the main line. Call him up. Tell him what you want. If you need your body healed, how many of you are ready to call him up? Tell him what you want. Somebody give him a real big praise in the house.